Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe we're into October. It's October 3rd and 4th, depending on when you're listening to this. The weather has been great. We had a great mayor's walk in Concord on Wednesday, September 30th. Great turnout, and we really want to get wellness inculcated throughout New Hampshire, and particularly the Wellness Coalition, which is founded by a bunch of companies in Concord, really getting the word out, the importance of, you know, staying fit. As I say to our customers, Northeast Delta Dental's customers, we're not running a country club, but if our employees are feeling fit mentally and physically, they're going to deliver better external service. So it is a beautiful circle. So that was Wednesday, September 30th. Now, if you are listening today, October 3rd, on a Saturday, just wanted to remind you that on Sunday, October 4th, at 11, of course, if you're listening to this Sunday morning at 7, you still have time to go down. At 11 o'clock at Livingston Park, we have the Walk to Defeat ALS. And Northeast Delta Dental is the major sponsor of the walks that took place earlier this year, a few weeks ago, in Burlington, Vermont, in Portland, Maine, and in Bangor, Maine, and now it's New Hampshire's turn, and that's Sunday, October 4th at 11 a.m. in Livingston Park, and a bunch of my colleagues will be there. The podium talk will be given by Heather Brown, who is our manager of health and oral wellness, and you've heard her on this show. I cannot make the walk because I'll actually be doing the half marathon that goes from the Loudon racetrack to Concord, so I can't be in two places at once, but we will have a great turnout on for the ALS walk on October 4th. On Saturday the 3rd, there are actually three races in the area. There's Girls Inc. at 9 a.m. There is the 10 a.m. 50th anniversary of NHTI. That's at 10 a.m. That race takes place right at the NHTI campus. And then at 11 o'clock, there's a Hopkinton's Lions Road race in Hopkinton, just about 20 minutes from Concord. So you have your choice of three races, 9 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11 a.m. I'm actually going to try to do all three, hobble through that. So one of the great things about Northeast Delta Dental Radio is we get to feature some really, really cool people. And I think most people have heard of Craig Peterson. So Craig, thank you for joining me this Saturday. I know you're a busy guy, so to take time out of your busy schedule to be interviewed by an amateur radio person, I really appreciate it.
Hey, I'm very glad to be here, Tom, and thanks for being on my show as well and read the book that you put together. You're doing a lot of amazing things over at Northeast Delta Dental, I got to say that.
Well, thank you. We try to do the right thing, and we're in New Hampshire, we're considered a large company, and we're doing well, so we like to give back to the community, whether it's, you know, the ALS walk or featuring not-for-profits on this radio show or just things that we think are interesting to the community. So tell us about your background. You've been called by EMC Senior Management a true Renaissance man. Sometimes Ken Kilt calls me that. So I want your definition of why EMC Senior Manager. And that's pretty prolific that they would call you the Renaissance man.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting term. I think it's misused a lot today. So I'll give you my definition like you asked for.
Super.
Basically, a Renaissance man is someone who understands a lot of things, has a fair amount of depth, very broad. And of course, my depth goes right down when it comes to the technology side. And I've been doing technology now for many, many, many years, over 40 years. And I have seen the whole evolution of the computer world. I helped design many of the systems that are used today on the internet, built some of the very first large websites, multi-million-dollar-a-day lottery systems, all the way through different types of medical systems. And today I provide managed services for everything from hospital chains to Fortune 100 clients that I've had for many, many years. So I'm kind of broad that way. I have 8 kids. Married.
Oh, good for you. I have 4. I thought that was a lot.
Well, that's a decent start, Tom.
What are their age ranges?
They go from 31 down to 19 now.
Good,
the youngest is 19, yeah.
So you have one left in college then?
We have, yeah. Well, they've gone back for master's degrees.
Of course.
We actually homeschooled them all the way up to college.
Wow.
So all eight of them, and they're all doing really well. And it's fun to see it, you know?
Absolutely. And with mine, all now graduate, a couple of them have master's, one's going for the doctorate. And I, as the older I get as chair of the State Board of Education, the more I see the whole key to a lot of things, you know, wellness, civility, everything is education. The economy is well. So I think that's obviously the best thing. To me, that's the best thing we can do for our kids is to make sure that they're are educated. Then it's up to them to get out of the nest and do their thing. But I think if you can give them a good start with education. Now, this is a pretty terrific compliment you got from the state of New Hampshire's IT director. More knowledgeable and more committed to getting it right than anyone else. So how did you get that mantra?
Isn't that nice?
That's beautiful.
You probably have seen NH.gov. I actually was the guy that pioneered that whole, not just the domain, but actually got it so states could have a .gov address. That
Me.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so we put together the first networks for the state of New Hampshire and did a whole bunch of stuff before DOIT took over. And in fact, we did a lot of the initial training for the Department of Information Technology here in the state. And we continue to do things for a number of different departments here in the state, including fish and game, a lot of the wildlife stuff, the annual moose hunt lottery, and many other things still for the state. So we've been, and it was nice of him to say that, because what Frank Catanese was saying in that quote was, I've worked with thousands of companies, and really Mainstream, which is my company that I founded over 20 years ago now, was really tops in delivering and trying to do the right thing. And you know, that's so important. I've been so frustrated lately, Tom, with people that just aren't following through. They're not doing what they said they'd do. I can't figure it out, but you know, I'm different, I guess.
Well, I'm with you on this. We actually have a guarantee of service excellence in the insurance industry that we established that's world acclaimed. It's called Guarantee of Service Excellence, and we have an expression in our company, under promise and over deliver. In other words, fulfill your commitments. And I think that's what we're known for as a company, and that's what I'm known for personally, and I think that is so crucial. Why do you think that is? Is it just people need to be mentored on the importance of fulfilling their commitment, or is it a cultural thing? I mean, it's probably a long answer.
Well, I did, as you know, I have a radio show, and I've done a lot of interviews over the years, and I've dedicated a few different three-hour shows to figuring out what's up with kids these days, right? Our parents said the same thing, when we were young, kids these days. Well, it was interesting talking to some psychiatrists and psychologists about what's going on, and even frankly some kids, but what they were saying is, as a general rule, if you're under 35, you have a completely different set of ethics than anyone else who came before you has. Interesting stats that just came out this last week about young women who are looking to settle down, get married, have a family, get things going. And the statistics are showing that there are 4 women for every 3 guys from an eligibility standpoint. In other words, women are now going to college and they're graduating with degrees more than men are. They tend to be smarter, these women that have gone through college, than the men are. And the men are laggards. You know, they're playing video games. They're doing all kinds of things. I think the online world has really changed their minds, because now everything is free. Everything's easy. Pornography is readily available to everyone who's out there. And these guys are engaging in all of these practices that are changing the way they think and act and react. And that's coming through into society. You know, Tom, if you and I were in a meeting and we're trying to figure out something, we'd kind of lay it out a little bit, and then I'd say, okay, well, Tom, I'm going to go back. I'm going to research this. Tom's researching that. And let's get back in a week after we've done some research and slept on it. And let's discuss what we want to do and how we want to move forward. Kids these days would do it entirely differently. They'll sit there, and before the meeting's over, they want to have a decision, and they're going to get on their phones with Facebook and messages and chat, different types of chat software, and they're going to try and get information from their friends who may not be competent, right? So they're going to ask their friends, what do you think I should do? What do you think we should do with this? And they're soliciting friends whose opinions matter no more than asking the mailman about the moonshot next week.
Or thinking that anything found on the internet is accurate.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But it's interesting. Well, you know, of course, our topic today is, and we'll get it to after the commercial break, mostly protecting yourself in this internet age. But just one brief comment. One of the things I've learned by having a lot of summer interns at Northeast Delta Dental over the years is sometimes it's like basic mentoring they need. You know, so the points you made, you know, like 8:30 is 8:30. If there's a staff meeting, it's 8:30. And no, you don't have your cell phone and multitasking during the meeting.
There's no such thing as multitasking, right. Frankly.
So, exactly. Because as we know, human beings are binary. So.
Right.
So I've just found that, you know, both men and young men and women, that I think if you can mentor them and educate them, then they can start seeing that, you know, business can be fun and that, you know, fulfilling your commitments and so forth, and education is key. So let's, we have about a minute and a half before the commercial break. So let's start the topic, which really was this weekend's all about protecting yourself, in the internet age. And, why don't you briefly overview some of the types of threats that are here today in a minute, and then after the break, we'll talk about what we can do about it.
Sure. There are a lot of threats nowadays. If you go in, you use your credit card, and that credit card is processed at Home Depot, for instance, we've seen breaches of your credit card information. We now have, just again, the last 2 weeks, we've now found out that, you know, this information leak where a federal database was broken into with fingerprints, turns out now well more than 5 million, probably everyone who's ever had a background check for the federal government, their information has been compromised. Everything about them, including the security clearance they were looking for. So basically, if you have information and you're making it available digitally one way or the other, it can be hacked. So, you know, you've got to be careful. And we'll be talking about that when we come back from the break. Some of the things you can do, the special web browsing software you can use for free that's going to help you out. But basically, be conscious of what could be happening.
I think great advice. And one other piece of advice that I have given to my employees and to my children: when you email and text, pretend you're writing on the front page of the Union Leader in the Boston Globe, because nothing ever gets deleted. But more to come on that. So we'll return with Craig Peterson after the commercial break. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio, and with me this weekend is Craig Peterson, who has a tremendous biography in this field of technology. Just real quick again for my running friends, Saturday today, Girls Inc. at 9 a.m., 5K, NHGI 50th Anniversary Race at 10 a.m. in Concord, and then 11 o'clock, Hopkinton Lions. And then on Sunday, October 4th, in honor of various people in New Hampshire who have been diagnosed with ALS, we're doing the Walk to Defeat ALS, and that's Sunday, October 4th in Livingston Park in Manchester. And we aren't really close to a cure for ALS, so it's going to be a really meaningful and inspirational walk. Okay, so back to Craig. So Craig, you started to say some of the types of threats and hacks and so forth. Let's start with some of the statistics of how many Americans get, if you will, hurt one way or the other electronically during the course of a year?
Well, 2014, the stats just came out last Sunday, and they came out, of course, from the federal government, who's trying to compile some of these things. They're saying that 17.6 million Americans, now put that number in context, right? Almost 20 million Americans out of almost a little over 300 million Americans, that's a lot of people, were victims of identity theft just last year. And it's really scary when you look at it. And of course, there's multiple types of identity theft. There's a credit card and bank account fraud. Now, that accounts right now for about 86% of all of this type of identity theft that's going on. And it's bad enough. So let's start with the first tip. When we're talking about credit card theft and bank account fraud, there's two types of ways people make electronic payments typically. One of them is with a credit card, and the other one that they typically use is a debit card. So with this, the most prevalent type of theft that's out there right now, If you're using a credit card and you notice it on your monthly statement, you can immediately report that information to the credit card company and have it put on hold. You don't have to pay that portion of your bill. Life goes on. If you're using a debit card, the problem is now that they have your money. Not the bank's money, not the merchant's money that you bought whatever or they bought whatever product was from. They've pulled the money out of your checking account that's linked to the debit card. Now you have to go through a different process. You're going to have to file a police report. You're going to have to go ahead now and give that police report information to the credit card issuer, and they're going to have to try and get your money back. A process that can often take, Tom, more than 3 months. And if they empty your account out, think of all of the checks are going to bounce, all of those electronic transfers, the ACHs and other things that you've set up to automatically pay things. Those are all going to go away. And you have to fight to get it back. Now, when I spoke with Visa and MasterCard about this specifically, they both said, well, it depends. We can often work something out so that, you know, you get some of that money back right away. But using a credit card is much, much better online than using a debit card. So seeing these problems, we've got a couple of options now that have been made available to us, the best of which right now is Apple Pay. Have you ever heard about Apple Pay? Tom,
let's describe it for the audience. Sure.
What Apple has done is they've set up near field communication in your iPhones, the newer iPhones, that is the 6s and 6s's now. I think the 5s might have had it as well. I'm trying to remember when it was introduced. But what that does now is when you go in to pay for something, so let's say you're at Panera, we went out to lunch together to talk about a project. When you go to the register, you just put your iPhone on top of that little card reader, you give it your thumbprint, and it makes a payment. Now, obviously, you've had to tie either your credit or debit card into the Apple Pay with Apple. The assumption is Apple's going to be safer than Home Depot was, than so many of these other vendors out there. And by the way, it is safer. But the merchant now does not get your credit card information. All they get is a confirmation ID. That's a great thing for you and your privacy, because if that merchant is now compromised or the merchant services are compromised, they don't have anything of any value whatsoever. So Apple's had that out for a while. There's over 100,000 merchants now that are accepting Apple Pay. More are going to be coming online. Google Android tried to do something similar with Google Wallet, which they basically shot in the head about 2-3 weeks ago because it just wasn't working for people. People just weren't using Google Wallet. So now they've come up with Google Payments as of last week. And that is something similar to Apple Pay. Again, you know, we've got to stop the individual merchants from having to collect our personal information. And where do people go to steal information? Where it is, right? It's like, why do you rob banks? Because that's where the money is, right? why do you try and hack these merchants? And that's why they're trying to get at your money.
Just as an aside, since you mentioned the iPhone and Apple, you had mentioned to me about the new way how we think about photos on iPhones. I know this isn't security, but tell us what that's all about.
The new way to think about what?
Photos.
Okay. Well, Apple's introduced a new technology here with the iPhone 6S.
Okay.
And this technology is really, really quite cool. Normally, when you take a picture, and we're sitting here, right? It's a static moment in time.
Right.
And that's a great thing. You know, I still prefer pictures over videos for the most part, right? You can sit there, you can flip through them. They're all stored online, and it's a great thing. What Apple's done most recently now with the latest version of iOS and their new phones is if you take a picture, it actually records about a half second before the picture and after the picture. So now you can get a little bit of context if you want to. So pictures are kind of becoming videos as opposed to just a little snapshot in time. And frankly, I think as time goes on, you're going to see that little window open up. So now if you're taking a picture with that new Apple 6S, make sure you keep it on subject for a second or two after you've snapped that photo, because it's actually recording essentially video before and after.
Everything comes full circle, sort of a motion picture, so to speak.
Yeah.
So how about some practical advice? So we all, you know, every year or two, we all get new devices. Well, mm-hmm. How do we dispose of the old one we have without, even if we're trying to be kind-hearted and give it to a not-for-profit or some other place where someone may be able to use it, how do you make sure that none of your personal information is still stored in there somehow? And how do you just dispose of portable electronics in general?
Well, of course, this is a security issue as well, because if you have a computer, whether it's a smartphone or a computer that's on your desk, you've likely got information in there you don't want the bad guys to get. You may have information about your credit card accounts. You may have, of course, contacts and phone numbers and email addresses you don't want them to get, and other personal information like business documents. So there's a number of things that you should really be aware of. First of all, Apple is number one when it comes to security. All of these iPhones and all of the iOS devices now, your iPads, etc., have built-in security if you have a passcode on your device. So number one rule, always make sure there's a passcode on your device. Now, Android has something that's really quite cool too, which is they allow you to kind of draw a little diagram to unlock your phone. That's very, very good. I would trust that. In fact, many people in studies have said that that's actually better than just a passcode. So what Apple's doing when you use a passcode is it creates a random key, and everything on your phone is encrypted using this random key. And the only way to decrypt the random key is with your passcode. So now when it's time to get rid of your device at the end of life, with the Apple, all you have to do is say erase phone. And really all it's doing is erasing that key. So once that key is gone, nothing on the phone is worth anything anymore because it essentially looks like random data, which is a very, very good thing, frankly. And it also makes it very safe. There's no way to recover it, unlike Hillary Clinton's emails. So that's the first step. Make sure it's erased. And by the way, on the iPhone, erasing the whole phone takes about 2 seconds. It's that fast. Make sure you do that on any phone, Android or otherwise. And the various phones have different ways of erasing them. And then don't just throw it in the trash. There is all kinds of nastiness inside that phone when it comes to chemicals that were used to make it. There's arsenic. There's other things, including gold in our phones that can be recovered. And the easiest way to get rid of that phone, if you just take it by a local Staples store, they have a recycle right out front, a recycle bin for your old used electronics. So that's anything that's rechargeable, basically, should be recycled. And you mentioned, Tom, some of these charities that will accept the phones and they'll reuse them now for someone who can't afford a phone, who needs something for emergency calls, etc. Well, those types of places, again, if you erase your phone, they'll take it and they can reuse it. But you need to do the same thing with your desktop computers, sure, with your laptops. You know, make sure they're thoroughly are erased, because unless they're erased, all that information's recoverable.
So two quick things before we wrap. One, you mentioned the Hillary Clinton email. I'm putting aside whether there was any deleted emails.
Sure, political, legal.
Yeah, putting that aside. But in my experience is emails never go away. Yeah. My VP of IT... does a little show for us showing how something you've deleted can easily come back. So I'm assuming those emails, and again, I'm not putting aside whether they were okay to delete or not, but I mean, I'm assuming they're all retrievable. And so,
oh yeah, well, this is really interesting. This is one of my frustrating, put my frustrating hat on and maybe try and take it off. I'm not sure. But she hired a company out of Colorado to host her server. Her server was in a closet in the bathroom in an apartment. That's the hosting company. Now, they're cheaper than I am. That's what really bugs me. And people can't discern the difference, right? So she had it with a company in Colorado who had her server sitting there in the closet with no security on it. Because as soon as this came out, I started doing a little poking around and found I could connect right to it. And for months, according to the research that I've read, her server was completely unsecured. So anyone could get onto it. And frankly, the bad guys out there, you know, the Russians, the Chinese that are trying to infiltrate all of our intelligence could easily get onto her server as well. And most likely did, because they would have known she was using this personal server, right? And the company that was contracted to this Colorado company to destroy the documents, the president, or the devices, the president of that company, Tom, has been convicted of criminal fraud.
There you go.
Okay. Great guy.
This could be a whole separate show.
Now, we could talk about this for hours, but it's recoverable unless it was deleted properly.
Exactly.
And it's unlikely.
So give me 30 seconds. The other complaint I always hear from people, my phone and the charging aspect of it. So I think you've got a couple of tips on how to deal with charging.
Yeah, there are. And I posted them online. They're on my website as well at craigpeterson.com. But the first thing to do is go through, turn off all of your background tasks, because that's probably what's killing you. All these little programs that track your movements are using the GPS. They're using CPU, which all uses a lot of battery. So I went from going through a whole battery, at least a battery every day, to now, by the time the end of the day comes around, Tom, and I use my phone a lot during the day, I've got 50, 60% battery left in it. So turn off all of those background apps. Turn off location services for those apps that you know don't really need it, right? Or you don't want them to have it. Right there, you're going to have a huge savings. And both the iPhone and Android platforms have apps that you can get that shows the battery utilization. And in fact, on the iPhone, it's built right in. You can see which apps are sucking your battery. Don't use them, get rid of them, or kill them.
Craig, you are just a wealth of information. I have to have you back. So it was good. Craig gave his website, Craig Peterson, one word, and that's with the T, peterson.com.
Right.
And then also you have tech-talk-with-craig-peterson.com.
Or just Tech Talk with Craig Peterson. Or
perfect.
Craig Peterson.
I'm going to have to have you back. We just barely touched on this, and I'm already over. So Craig, thank you for the service you do to educate the community on various technology issues. We're blessed to have you right here in New Hampshire, and we'll have you back on.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Great. Tom Raffio will return next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.